Greetings of love to all of you. We are glad to be back here in your midst again. We have a lot to be thankful for this morning, and we, along the vein of what Brother Joseph was talking about there, for your prayer support. I know we had a special prayer request here a couple weeks ago, and we had the confidence that you were praying and the confirmation that you were praying, and appreciate that very much. It means a lot to have that kind of support. And then we came home, and it was one of the things that I knew was going to be on my agenda right up was to clean up around the house, and it was all done already. And you youth came and did a tremendous job. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's very much appreciated, and the Lord reward you according to what you've done. All right, the title of the message this morning is Living with Eternal Perspective. We've heard something about that already this morning in Sunday school and earlier today, and also even in the opening here. For a scripture, just to introduce our subject, turn to Psalm 90. You're familiar with that. Just going to look at a couple of verses here. In Psalm chapter, or the 90th Psalm, verses 9 and 10, he says, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away." Now, God created a span. God is eternal. Time is nothing to God. One day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And so we have eternity past, and we have eternity future. And so God created this span of time for a purpose. And time would be meaningless if it wasn't for you and I, for the people. And God created time for us, for man. And he did it with a specific something in mind. It was not just an afterthought. And I don't profess to understand all the dynamics behind why God did that, except that I do know that there was war in heaven, and that a third of the angels were cast out, and the devil also was cast out with them. And there is a contest going on that we probably don't understand very well and know very little about, that's in the spirit world. But I believe that we have something to do with that. And I know we do because of what the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, where it says that through death he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So at the death of Christ's death on the cross, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And so that's part of the spiritual conflict that comes into focus here in this period that we call time. And so you have the pre-flood era, you have the post-flood era, and you have, you could put other eras in there, but then you have the Christian era, which is the era in which we live, and it's what the Bible calls the last days. And so there we are. And now it comes down to each one of us as an individual. Now, we have our little bit here somewhere, our little spot of time. And here is what the psalmist says, 80 years. That's the span given to man, and if by reason of strength it be 80, And so we have these in the cemetery. And it gives a beginning date and an ending date. And it's if it's 70 years, if that was me, it would say 1951, the date of birth, and 2021, the date of death. And that's the span. Now, not everyone lives to be 70 years old, and many today are living to be older than that. It brings into focus what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, and you're familiar with that scripture as well. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Living with eternal perspective. If he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And so what about we come to the end of this little allotted time here? What about after that? Well, when God created man, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, man became a living soul. A soul that will be somewhere in eternity. A soul that will never disappear or die. But a soul that will always exist. And that's what makes this so vitally important. And so when we think of things in perspective of eternity, this little portion of time that we have, this little speck, and now eternity. We heard already this morning the importance of making right decisions because of the perspective of eternity. It never ends. And so, as we think of that, are we willing to say, God, do with me whatever you want in this little bit of time, this little speck of time that has been allotted to me, so that I will be with you for eternity? Because that's what it means, I think, to live with an eternal perspective. Do whatever it takes. Just don't let me be lost. All right, point number one here is, what should our eternal perspective be? Since life is short, and we don't know when we're going to die, and I didn't intend this to be a morbid subject. Actually, for the Christian, for the believer, it's a subject that's full of hope and promise. We don't know when that time's going to come. And so, consequently, every day we live, we should live with that perspective of eternity. Living each day as though it may be our last, because someday it will be. Someday it will be. For some of us, it will be sooner. For others, later. But for all of us, it will someday be our last day. And we should live every day as though it was going to be our last. Many people get up in the morning and never see the sunset. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 says, "See then you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." That little span, that little 70 years, or whatever it is that God has allotted to us, redeeming that time. And how do we redeem the time? We don't let it go to waste. We make good use of our time, and we live it in the perspective of eternity. And how do you do that? Now, the Bible tells us, gives us a lot of different ideas, and this is one of them that we find in 2 Corinthians 2:15. And he's talking about the people of God. He says, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that perish." Now, I think that we as believers are to bring the fragrance of life, not only to our fellow believers, but also to those that are perishing, it says. To them that perish, we are that sweet savor. We bring the fragrance of life. We bless other people. And like we heard this morning, we bless others around us, whether they are our fellow church members, our fellow Christians, or whether they are those that perish, that we have a good report and a good testimony, and that we present and represent Christ to them. And then we can say, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Second point, decisions have eternal consequences. And that's basically a fact of life that we all know, but need to be reminded of from time to time. And that is that the decisions that we make in this life determine where we're going to be in the next. It's in our hands. The decisions that I make are going to determine where I spend eternity. God has given us that freedom to choose and to decide. And those decisions that we make are going to determine where we spend eternity. If I am lost, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? We can point to others and blame others, accuse others. But finally, basically, it comes right down to the fact that I could have chosen different. I did not have to allow those circumstances to destroy me, to make me bitter, and to cause me to lose my soul. And so that those decisions that I make in this life determine where I'll spend the next. And then it's fixed. There is no second chance. There's no opportunity to change our mind and to choose again. That happens. That's given to us in this period of time that God has allotted to us. We have an example of a man in the Bible who made a right choice, and he's often used because it's such an obvious choice, and it was such a dramatic choice. And we read about that in Hebrews 11th chapter, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, I'm going to read. And it's the reason this stands out to me is because here is a man who had eternity in perspective. He had an understanding of time and eternity and where we should place our values. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season or for a period of time. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses was a man who didn't live merely for the here and now. But he was looking beyond that period of time that was allotted to man. He was looking at the hereafter. And so it affected the decisions that he made. If he was living only for time and for what he could get out of life now, presently, he would certainly have chosen differently than he did. Moses was a man like Abraham. You know, Abraham, we think of Abraham as a man of faith. His faith was tested to the ultimate, but he proved true. And why did he prove true? Because he was looking for a city that had foundation. He had eternal perspective. I'm going to read those scriptures here also in Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should hereafter receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed, and here is the key, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city that they haven't seen yet. But only by faith they see it. And because of that, they are willing to be strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. That is living in with eternal perspective. Does that describe me? Does that describe you? A pilgrim and a stranger on the earth. Because we have eternal perspective, because we are looking for that city that hath foundation, that place, that better country, that heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called our God. Decisions have eternal consequences. Philippians 3:20 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." When our conversation is in heaven, it's because we're strangers and pilgrims here on the earth. And it's because we have an eternal perspective. These things on earth are not an end in themselves. And there are many things here that actually hinder our journey to the promised land. And a lot of them are electronically oriented in our day. A lot of things that cause us, that draw us down, and that weigh us down, stand in our way from that pilgrim and stranger lifestyle and concepts that is necessary as an expression of our faith, that we look for something better, something beyond, something in eternity. A lot of times when the disciples asked Jesus a question, he kind of went around about or gave a parable or something to answer their question and make them think and give them a spiritual truth kind of in a package. But there's one time here when he didn't do that. In Matthew 19, when Peter asked him, "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" We've given up everything. I mean, we've given up our fishing nets, our boats. We are giving up time with our families. And we're your disciples. We're following you. We're suffering hardship. And we're suffering all the adversities that you suffer. What are we going to have for it? And Jesus said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Now, Jesus didn't beat around the bush on that answer. He made it clear. If we're willing to live as strangers and pilgrims, if we're willing to put him first in our lives, all those things that we have to sacrifice and seem difficult, those things that are near and dear and close to us, and we're willing to give them second place and let Jesus have first place, he said, you're going to receive a hundredfold above what you ever gave up. And on top of that, you shall inherit everlasting life. That's living with eternal perspective. Now, Moses basically made two choices there. The first one was to refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which meant all the luxuries, the privileges, the fame and fortune that went with that identity. And then the second was choosing to identify with the people of God. That motley crew that went out of Egypt that night, identifying with them and suffering with them and enduring the thirst and the hunger and the heat and the cold and all the things that went with that journey through the wilderness all those years. He identified with them and gave up the other. And Moses made these two choices based on what it says there in the 26th verse when it says, he esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasure of Egypt. Is that the concepts that we have? The reproach of Christ, the things that I'm asked to give up, the things that I'm called to suffer and sacrifice, that I count them as greater riches than the riches of Egypt, the treasure of Egypt. It says, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And he hadn't received it yet. It was just promised to him. It was a promise. And he believed it and received it by faith. And in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul reminds us there in Romans 8:18, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. You know, we don't enjoy suffering, do we? We don't enjoy sacrifice. These are realities that cost us something. It may just be something as simple as giving up an evening or sharing a meal, inviting each other to your homes, you know, rather than taking a comfortable Sunday afternoon nap. It can be just simple things like that, or it can be a lot greater things. And I really admire those who are willing to make those commitments for years at a time to go and to serve in other places away from their family and friends and home and comforts and security and all of that for the sake of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 4:16-18, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They don't take faith. They simply comfort the physical. But he says, the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's where faith comes in. Those things which are not seen and which have eternal value. Hebrews 10:34 I think, pretty much summarizes it all by reminding us there that it's possible for us also to have in heaven a better and enduring substance. I was saying that Jesus often spoke in parables to convey a truth, and I think it helped it to stick in people's minds. And it does in our minds as well whenever an illustration is given, a story or something that illustrates a point. Well, many of the parables that Jesus gave remind us of keeping an eternal perspective. And we have parables such as the rich man who stored up those things for himself and tore down his barns and built greater. And he had plans for future retirement. But the Lord said, tonight your soul will be required of you. Then whose shall these things be? He was not living with an eternal perspective. And Jesus was teaching us that we need to. The parable of the tares, the parable of the hidden treasure and the pearl, the parable of the 10 virgins and of the talents, all teach us things about a perspective in life that Jesus says is important. Point number three here. One thing gave Moses the neatest ability to consistently live for the Lord, and that is that he had a close personal relationship with God. You know, if we don't have that relationship with the Lord, we are not quite sure how to say it. We're living in fantasy land somehow if we don't have a relationship with the Lord. If we expect to get to heaven and to be there in his presence and to be among those that are worshiping him and praising him and honoring him, and we have no relationship here on earth. Jesus had words for that. He says, those people are going to hear the words, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, haven't we done all these wonderful works? And, you know, in your name, and you don't know us? Relationship. You know, God created time for the benefit of humanity. And he created us and placed us in time so that we would have the opportunity to enter into a relationship with him. Adam in the garden at the cool of the day. That was the purpose. That was the fulfillment. That was the culmination. That was why God created Adam. To have that fellowship and that relationship with him. One who would love him and serve him and appreciate him and acknowledge him and commune with him. In the context here of Hebrews 11:25, where it refers to Moses esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches, it says that he endured seeing him who is invisible. Seeing who? Seeing him who is invisible. How do you have a relationship with someone who is invisible? Well, the quick answer is by faith. But faith has expression, doesn't it? And, you know, God has given us his word. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He has given us other believers. He has given us nature. He's given us so many things that we can know him and commune with him and fellowship with him, even though he is, in that sense, invisible. Moses was keenly aware that he lacked the strength and wisdom to face each day alone. And so we see Moses many times communing with God, asking God for direction, for wisdom, for strength, and to help him through the difficult issues of life, the problems that he faced there in leading the children of Israel. And so this was an expression of faith on Moses' part. A total dependency on the Lord. And we heard about, some about that this morning already. Not only our very life and breath are in his hands, but our soul and our very being, our who we are, is in the hands of God. And so because of that, thinking of relationship yet, Paul said to Timothy, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." So who has chosen us? Please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. And it's as we work for the Lord, we don't entangle ourselves in the affairs of this life, but we, our primary goal is pleasing him. He has chosen us to be a soldier. And so he chooses us, but we also need to choose him. And it's our choice again to maintain that close relationship with God every day. And that's why it's precious to him, because we have a choice. That's why it's precious to him, because Satan offers, the world offers immediate, instant gratification. It'll give you what you want for the moment. And it has a lot of promises that it can't fulfill. But when we choose him, and we choose a relationship with him, in spite, and we say no to these things, it's a reproach on the devil, and it brings glory to God. And if we choose the opposite is true as well. It brings reproach to the Lord when we make those wrong choices. And so that's going to mean disciplining ourselves in our Bible reading, our prayer time, our fellowship with God. What does it take? How little, how much does it take to divert me from my relationship, my communication with God? So we need to choose. We need to choose to study and meditate on God's word and on his values. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Isn't that where we want to be? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. You cannot know God's values or perspective apart from his word. The Bible gives us an understanding of who God is, what he's like, and what his perspective of life is for us. And it's just this simple. If we slip away, if we cool off, if we neglect our Bible reading and prayer time, we are slipping away from God. We're getting further away from him, and we're getting on dangerous territory when it comes to our eternal perspective. We need to choose to seek God's kingdom first. I'm going to turn yet to Matthew chapter 6, because this is such an important teaching of Christ concerning, in regards to an eternal perspective. Matthew 6, verse 20. "But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And over in verse 33. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus gave it. He is the co-creator with God. He knew why God made us, and he knows all about eternity, and he is telling us that what is important, and that's where our focus should be. Well, most of you know who Jim Elliot was, a missionary in South America, and specifically a martyr as he was trying to reach the Aucca Indians. And there was a quote or comment that he made that has become well known. And it's, I think, something that guided him in the decisions that he made that took him where he was. We think of men of faith in the Old Testament, the New Testament, but here's a modern example of a person who lived and kept an eternal perspective. He said, "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." And, you know, if we could just grasp the truth and the value of that statement. And this statement also flows from the heart of a man who said that, "I seek not a long life, but a full life. A life like that of Jesus Christ himself." And of course, that prayer was answered. We know what happened there. And he gave up his life there for the Aucca Indians. And it became a stepping stone for many to find their way to Christ later on. Can we say that from the heart? "He is no fool to give up what he cannot keep, to gain what he cannot lose." In conclusion here now, the scripture makes it clear that the one important business of this life is to prepare for the next. And so, you know, God is eternal. His place is eternal. His word is eternal. And his people are eternal. And we need to center our life around those truths. He is going to prepare a place for us that we can be with him in eternity. This group of friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord, you know, that we have made on this little journey of time, people that we have been privileged to get to know and to labor with and among. There are many who have gone before us that we've never seen and known. We've just read about them and heard about them, some of them, many not. There will be thousands upon thousands and millions around that throne that we'll get to know later on. But just this little group here. Just look around the room and think about this. We will be with each other if we're faithful, if we endure. We will be with each other in another world, in eternity. What an awesome thought as we think of that. You know, it's something that just kind of crossed my mind. I hadn't really given it that much thought before. But if we're faithful, if we endure, you know, even though we may part here for a short time, we're going to be seeing each other again. We're going to be with each other. And it's not going to be for a long, long time. It's going to be for eternity. Something to think about. You know, and we want to see all of you there, every last one. And I don't want to have to hang my head in embarrassment because of what I said or did sometime. You know, when we meet over there, we take care of all those things on this side. What are we living for? For earth or for heaven? He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Lord, make me to know mine end in the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth, and mine age is as nothing before thee. You know, we're tempted every day to have a temporal perspective rather than an eternal perspective, to live as if our current life is all there is. But we know that there's a lot more than that, and so we must continually renew our minds, in our minds, the reality of what God has said, that his purpose is for us, and that in the knowledge that we will either be rewarded for the stewardship of our lives or suffer loss on the day of judgment, all of us are going to give account to God someday as to how we lived, with eternity in perspective or just what we could get out of this life. What am I willing to do? What am I willing to sacrifice? How am I willing to live? And who am I willing to be that I can be with him in eternity? Lord, whatever it takes. Are we willing to say that? Shall we kneel in prayer?